So we have so far discussed two approaches to emunah. The fact that we have emunah in our system, we yarshent it, we inherited it from the Aveis HaGadoshim, and we instinctively believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And another approach was looking around in our environment, looking inside of our own body, our own organism, and seeing the wonders of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, seeing the wonders of the Torah, seeing the wonders that we see by Klal Yisrael, the existence of Klal Yisrael, which is, like the Rabbi Yankov Emden says, a bigger wonder than Kriyas Yamsev. The existence of the Torah after 3,500 years, when Torah is still alive and ticking, mamish, like when it was given, not like all the other cultures which became extinct. All these inyanim prove to us that there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There is a third approach. This one is called Chakira, or perhaps we can translate it as philosophy. There was once a very prominent study called philosophy. Today, some people still study philosophy in the colleges, there are courses in philosophy. With Chakira, that means deep logic, to try to bring rayas that there is Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world, that Torah is min Hashemayim, that there is schar v'onesh, philosophy. And many svarim were written that logically try to bring out and prove these truths. The greatest one of the philosophers of Klal Yisrael was the Rambam. Well, we know the Rambam from the Yad HaChazaka and from his Perush HaMishnayos. We know him in Halacha. And in all the lamdish years that a bacha spends in the yeshiva or in the kollel, what does he do? He answers Rambams, Ferenfat Rambam. Because the Rambam is an area that gives us opportunity to be Mechadish Chedushim. Because unlike other Rishayim that explain whatever they say, the Rambam doesn't explain. The Rambam just writes halachas. And some of those halachas are contradictory to the Gemara. They're a stira to the Gemara. And some Rambams are a stira to themselves. And one Rambam, the Rambam will say something which is a stira to something else. So that gives us a field to be Mechadish Chedusha Torah and Ferenza dem Rambam. And that's what the Yeshivisha Torah mainly is based on, to Ferenza Rambams. But we don't know, and perhaps we're not even interested in the philosophy of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote Svarim of philosophy, the most noted one, the Meir Nevuchim. We're not interested. I'm sure that there are many Bachim here who don't even know that there was a Meir Nevuchim by the Rambam. In the yeshivas, we don't learn it. There must be a reason for it. Well, Kaidim Ko, let's understand philosophy. Let's philosophize about philosophy. What's philosophy? thought, thinking, logic. Perhaps we can call it mental acrobatics. And somebody says a deep thought and proves a point. He's smart. But somebody who's still smarter can refute it, again, this abschlagen, and say otherwise. So really, philosophy is like playing chess, to see who's smarter, to see who's deeper. And when somebody is very brilliant, he has an IQ of 200, and he says a certain and he bases a certain truth on the philosophical process. Very, very deep and leak-proof. Ooh, he's smart. He has an IQ of 200. But if there would be a hecha timta that somebody would have an IQ of 300, but they're mabgeschlagen. And if there would be a hecha timta that somebody has 400, he'd schlag him up. Ad ein sof. Philosophy doesn't prove anything. Philosophy is mental acrobatics, as I called it. But it doesn't prove anything. You try to understand the Rabbeinu Shalom with your seichel. Well, the Gedayli Yisrael, the Ashkenazish Gedayli Yisrael, never went for philosophy. They never cared for it. And the Sfardish Gedayli Yisrael were Isaac in philosophy in the Arabian countries. There's a historical reason for it, because there was a certain period in history when the Arabs, the Goyim, were Isaac in philosophy, and it was and it was a very exciting Isaac thought, logic, debate, and the Yidden went for it. And it was Gaiusha philosophy, Greek philosophy. So the Gedayli Yisrael in the Sephardische countries started authoring a Jewish philosophy, so that the Yiddish Bachrim shouldn't be exposed and shouldn't be turned off Yiddishkeit Chas V'Shalom by the Gaiusha philosophy. So they wrote Sfarim philosophy, to prove the inyanim of the Torah and to say taimim for the mitzvahs of the Torah based on human logic. But the Ashkenazi Shegedayelim, they were against that. They felt, but this isn't Misinai. We weren't Mekabarat Misinai. We only want to learn Torah that's a product of the Rabbeinu Shalom, which was given Misinai. But philosophy is a product of the human mind. We're not interested in it. And actually it came into a machlaikis. And because of that machlaikis, Rabbeinu Yaina was instrumental in burning the Sfarim of the Rambam in the streets of Paris. 30 years later, the Galachim in Paris made a gezeira that you're not allowed to learn Gemara. And they gathered and they confiscated all the Gemaras in the whole France. And a Gemara in those days was a treasure. It was before the printing press. All the Gemaras were written by hand. And they burnt 30 wagon loads of Gemaras in the streets of Paris. And Rabbeinu Yaina was thinking, why are they burning the Gemaras? We were left without Gemaras. What did we do wrong? And he came to the conclusion that this is the einish for burning the Sfarim of the Rambam. And he did tshuva. And he wrote a sefer, Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yaina, which is the sefer of tshuva, the sefer the most important sefer of tshuva which we have today, the greatest musa sefer, Shara Tshuva de Rabbeinu Yaini. But as I said before, philosophy is a goyish import. Our Torah is what we were mekabel misinai. Philosophy is logic, the product of the mind. We can't really, speaking philosophically, we can't prove the Rabbeinu Shalom with philosophy, because the Rabbeinu Shalom is above us, he's above our minds. Not because we're not smart enough. The Rabbeinu Shalom gave us 5 senses, and we understand the whole universe around us with our 5 senses. 5 senses is a very small number. We can't understand everything with our minds. Our minds can understand our own environment. We have a mind made out of flesh, of gray brain matter, and that flesh, the mind, understands everything which is fleshy, which is earthly, but it can't understand anything which is above earth, anything which is higher than lemala min haseichel, lemala min hamakim, lemala min hazman. Kilei machshavei sei machshavei seichem, the Rabbeinu Shlodim says. The Rabbeinu Shlodim's thoughts aren't like human thoughts. Rabbeinu Shlodim kaviyacha doesn't think like a human being. We can't think in terms of what Rabbeinu Shlodim thinks. We can't understand our maker. A watchmaker understands the watch, but the watch can't understand the watchmaker. How could we understand the Rabbeinu Shalom? If somebody would say that he can see with his eyes, he has a big eyesight, has a very strong eyesight, he can read the New York Times if you hold it a block away. Oh, he has great eyesight. He can read so well. Somebody who can read it 2 blocks away has even more eyesight. That means that he has more eyesight, but at least he uses his eyes. But to understand Rabbeinu Shalom, we can't use our brain. This is not with what we understand Rabbeinu Shalom. It's above us. If somebody would tell you that he was in the Museum of Art and he was listening to a beautiful painting on the wall, you're going to say that he's a Meshuggah. You don't listen to a painting, you see a painting. If somebody would tell you that he was in Carnegie Hall and he saw with his eyes a wonderful great symphony being played, he's a tzedreiter. You don't look at a symphony with your eyes, you listen to a symphony with your ears. If somebody tells you that he understands the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's just the same tzedreiter. We don't understand the Rabbeinu Shalom with our minds. Our minds is not the organ with which we could understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. Just like our eyes don't see the music, we don't see the symphony. There is a sixth sense with which we could know the Rabbeinu Shalom, with which we could understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. That sixth sense is called Ruach HaKodesh, or Nevuah. And with Nevuah, we see the Rabbeinu Shalom. Like Yeshaya Navi said, V'erez Hashem Yeshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa. He saw the Rabbeinu Shalom, but he didn't see it with his eyes. He saw it with his Nevuah. Yidin have a kayach of nevuah. Every Yid, according to his tzitkus, can see and understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. But if he does a virus, he loses contact. Just like an electric wire which is enclosed in a plastic sheath. It's insulated. You can touch the wire and you won't get a shock because it's insulated. It has a plastic sheath around it. So every one of us has a neshama. That neshama is a chelek elekami ma'al. Our neshama has contact with the Rabbeinu Shleilem. Our neshama sees and feels the Rabbeinu Shleilem. And that's why we have that feeling of nearness to the Rabbeinu Shleilem when it's a Eis Ratzin, and it's special times by davening or by a Shabbos or by a Yom Tov or by putting on tefillin, when a person is zoiche to feel mamish the presence of the Rabbeinu Shleilem. But that is contact that he has with his neshama. But when somebody does aveiris, he forms an insulation around his neshama. And he doesn't feel his neshama. Avonisechem hay mavdilim bein hayu mavdilim bein neshama bein elokeichem. And aveira insulates. And aveira deadens your feelings. It's like it's like the dentist who injects Novocaine into your gums, so he can do whatever he wants to your tooth, and you wouldn't feel it. And aveira takes away your feelings. Tshuva brings back the feelings. There are people that complain about Sveikas and Amunah. That comes from Aveiris. We'll discuss that in Yesh Hashem at length. That comes from Aveiris. It makes you lose contact with your Rabbeinu Shleilem, that's mamish contact with your neshama. But we can't understand the Rabbeinu Shleilem with our minds. The Rambam, Reb Moshe Chaim Lutzatel, when he wrote a sefer on Musa, based on Torah, based on psukim of the Torah and on mamarim from Chazal, he called that sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the road of the righteous. The Rambam, when he wrote his sefer on philosophy, he didn't call it Mesilas Yesharim. He called it Meira Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed. It's for Nevuchim. He didn't write it for people who aren't Navuch. A Navuch means when somebody is lost. When by Parshas B'Shalach, V'yam Aparel, V'nei Yisrael, Nevuchim heim b'midbar. They're lost in the midbar. They're astray. He wrote this sefer for the people who are astray. Let them at least understand it with philosophy, because they are not in the position to touch the Torah. They have too many aveiros that the Torah should be able to turn them on to the Rabbeinu Shleilem. It's like trying to make fire with a wet match. It won't work. You have to dry the match first. You have to do tshuva first. So, therefore, all the Gedolei Yisrael, they rejected philosophy, even though there was Sfardish Gedolim and Rishonim who wrote Sfarim on philosophy. All the Gedolim, the Gedolei Sfardim, the Achreinim, the Vilna Gaon, the Chassidish Sfarim, they all discourage from learning philosophy, because there's a danger in being Isaac in philosophy. Because what's philosophy? The Greek approach to logic, science. That means proving something, asking a kasha and proving it by a certain discovery. You can't do that with the Rabbeinu Shleilem. You can't take the Rabbeinu Shleilem into a test tube and see if the Rabbeinu Shleilem is Eis Gehalten. Our minds can't do it. You know, they say the biggest taina against philosophy is you might hear a kasha and you won't understand the teretz. Either Rambam writes, if somebody learns the Meir Nevuchim or such a similar sefer, the Rambam asks a kasha, in Chakira on the Klalim of the Torah, on Amuna, and he answers the Teretz. Maybe you're going to understand the Kash and you won't understand the Teretz. Then you're in trouble. And even if you will understand the Teretz, but while you're weighing, you know, in the process of thought, you're weighing pro and con. You take the Rabbi Yisraelim into a test tube. Is there a Rabbi Yisraelim? B'chaz b'shadam not. Now I want to think. I want to prove con that there is. Now, in the logic, I have to also take the other side. I want to prove pro. I want to prove con. B'chaz b'shadam not. That moment when your mind is saying that there isn't a Rabbi Yisraelim, let me see it that way, that moment you're an apikairus Rahman al-Utslam. Then you're not believing in the Rabbi Yisraelim for that moment at least. The Rambam was able to write these kashas and the truths without being Messiah Das of the Rabbi Yisraelim. He believed in the Rabbi Yisraelim even when he wrote the kashas. But we're not capable of doing that. Maybe you won't understand. Maybe you're going to go know the kasha, and before you know the teretz, you're going to have sveikus namuna. That's why when we daven at the end of davening, and so we say enka lekeinu, we first say enka lekeinu. We should, and logically, we should say first mika lekeinu, who's like our God. So the teretz says, let me see. The teretz says enka lekeinu. There's nobody like our God. But we don't do that. We don't ask the kasha before the teretz. First we say the teretz, ein kelekeinu. And then we say, mi kelekeinu. We don't trust ourselves with the kasha without the teretz. In philosophy, you're going to be exposed to the kasha without the teretz. And chas v'shalom, your emunah can be nivgam. So, in the times of the Spanish Inquisition, when King Ferdinand and his Queen Isabella, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, evicted the Yidden from Spain, and you could remain in Spain only if Layelena, the person would shmad himself and take over the Christian religion. So there was a big tzaddik. Rabbi Yosef Yavetz. He's called the Chosid Yavetz. He wrote a sefer, a small little sefer, Oyer HaChaim. This is not the Oyer HaChaim which is written on the Pirush and Chumash. It's a different Oyer HaChaim. He wrote a sefer Oyer HaChaim, and he describes what happened in Spain by those gezeiros. So he says, who were the Yidden who were meiser nefesh themselves, and they didn't give away their emunah? Who are those Yidden? Pasha to Yidden, Tmimim, Amaratzim, women. They were Maisa Nefesh themselves. And they walked out of Spain. It was on Tisha B'Av. The Pasuk says, Ben Pakti Ufakadati, that because of the Meraglim, Tisha B'Av became a Priya L'Dayres. All the Yiddish Tzaras always happened on Tisha B'Av. The first Beis Hamikdash got Charev on Tisha B'Av. The second Beis Hamikdash got Charev on Tisha B'Av. Beitar became Charev on Tisha B'Av. More things happened on Tisha B'Av. The World War broke out on Tisha B'Av. And the Yidden were evicted from Spain on Tisha B'Av. The king didn't know that it's Tisha B'Av, but he made that date and had to go out of Spain. So the Chachamim, the Rabbanim, made a takana that you're allowed to play music and walk out of Spain, even though it was Tisha B'Av, and they had bands playing and they marched out of Spain to be the Mechazik, because it's Mesiras Nefesh. Where would they go? Nobody. So many were killed on the way. So many of them were captured and sold as slaves. So many of them were sunk in the Yamin because they tried to go away with bad ships. It was Mesiras Nefesh. Who were the ones who were Mesiras Nefesh themselves? Simple people. Who were the ones who shmadded themselves, even though secretly they kept themselves as Yidden, the Maranim? They were the philosophers, were Isaac and philosophy. So we're Isaac in philosophy, and trying to prove the philosophy that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom, that there is a true Torah, and they're the ones who shmadet themselves. And the simple Yidden who didn't go into that, they were the ones who had Mesiras Nefesh. That's what the Orach Chaim HaKadosh brings out. And he advocates you should learn Torah, Halachas, and don't go into these inyanim. Philosophy is a dangerous method of coming to Emunah. This is the third method, and we should reject it. But there is yet another method, the most important one. That, Amir Hashem, we're going to talk about next time. Have a tzlacha.